Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Set for Life. It is a beautiful Sunday afternoon in Saturday. I'm thinking it's Sunday afternoon. My God, I am just so excited. I just lost track of what day it was. It is truly, truly an honor to come before you once again. It's a pleasure to be able to bring to you good, positive, inspirational, motivational programming that can change your life. And that's why the name of the show is called Set for Life, because everybody wants to be set for life. I think that's why everybody. That's why we work, right? I mean, we work these jobs. We do the 9-to-5 thing. We, you know, starting our own businesses. You know why? Because we want to be set for life. There's a way to become set for life, and there are a lot of different components that go into being set for life. You have to approach this topic from a lot of different angles because there are a lot of different areas that make up our life. So in order to be set for life, there are certain things that you have to do. You have to plan. You have to make your dreams come true. And again, there is a way to do that. Today, we're going to have a fabulous show. We're going to be talking to an attorney today. We're going to be talking about estate planning. That is a topic that a lot of people don't consider when they're considering, you know, either starting their own business or, you know, whatever, mapping out their career goals. You know, you map out your career goals, but what about estate planning? Where does that fit into the whole scheme of things? What is estate planning? Well, my special guest today is going to talk about that.
And this is Yvette Aquia, Chef Natea, and I want to say hello to everyone listening today. It is time to get our house in order.
Yes, it is.
And that is what this show is all about, getting our house in order. Our special guest for today is Melanie Lee Esquire, and she is the owner of Lee Law Office in here in Richmond, Virginia. Ms. Lee concentrates her practice in the areas of trusts and estates, estate administration, business law, and elder law. She received her BA from Howard University and her law degree from Washington and Lee School of Law. And she is an experienced and well-rounded estate planner. She is a member of the American Academy of Estate Planning Attorneys and the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys. Her firm's philosophy is to help clients create, build, and properly transfer wealth. Attorney Lee was given both local and national recognition for her seminar on strategies to using estate planning to create generational wealth. She is a contributing writer to the new edition of Senior Citizens Handbook. She has taught courses on estate planning for the Virginia Society of CPAs, the Old Dominion Bar Association, National Association of Black Accountants, Urban Financial Services Coalition, formerly National Association of Urban Bankers, and the National Association of Press Women. We are so excited to have Ms. Lee here with us today on Set for Life.
What a bio that is. My God, this is going to be exciting. I can tell just
very
by
impressive.
All the things that she's done. My God, Sister Melanie, welcome to Set for Life. How are you today?
Well, thank you so much for having me.
It's our pleasure.
To be able to share with you today.
Wow, it's truly an honor. Estate planning, wow, that is that's something that you don't hear a lot of discussion about in a lot of circles. It's just not on the tip of everyone's tongue. But, you know, for a lot of us, it's something that's just overlooked. We don't even consider estate planning. So if you would, could you first explain what is estate planning and what actually inspired you to specialize in the areas of trust and estates?
I'd love to, Jawanza. I mean, you're absolutely right. Very few people think about estate planning. No one likes to think about death, and no one likes to think about taxes. And estate planning involves both of those things. I always tell people that the good news here is that death typically doesn't cost more every time Congress meets. But the truth is, when we talk about estate planning, we're really talking about this idea of making sure that the things that we love and those people that we love are taken care of should something ever happen to us. It deals with making sure that we own assets so we can properly transfer our wealth and our legacy and all those things to the next generation. Now, in our firm, we take a more holistic view of estate planning. We say that our wealth doesn't only involve our finances, but it also involves our community. It involves our foundational habits, those things that are important to us, those people that are important to us. You know, it also involves our life stories, and all of that's involved in our estate, things that are important to us, and how we plan for those and transfer them on. Personally, I learned, I guess, the best way or the worst way, depending on your thought, as to how I came to estate planning. You know, often when I talk about estate planning, I share the story of being, you know, in my 20s and standing in at a condo in College Park, Maryland, and finding out from my mother that my father was about to pass away. My sister and I ended up very quickly transforming our lives and moving back from D.C. to the Richmond area, which is why I still practice in the D.C. metropolitan area as well. But we moved back to Richmond as our homestead. I ended up having to take over my father's accounting practice at the time and running that practice. And I'm often reminded every time I work with families that most of my clients don't have oldest children who are lawyers that can stop their lives and reorganize everything if they were to pass away.
Right.
So it was kind of with that passion that I work with every family to help them do what, you know, our family wasn't able to do.
Right. That has to be something, again, because you talk about, you mentioned earlier, people don't like to talk about death. And, you know, just even preparing for it, it's almost like as though, I mean, because it's very it's an emotional thing. So, for example, let's say someone is about to pass, and now you have the job of, you know, preparing a will. You don't want the person to pass, but you still want everything to be in order if they do pass. And so I think that just for a lot of people, the whole discussion, it's almost filled with guilt, because it's like, let's say, for example, somebody has something that they, you know, need to get in order because they're going to leave something. Just to even have the conversation could make a person feel guilty, simply because they don't want the person to pass, but you have to discuss what's going to happen and what is could be received or could be transferred in that event. And so if you are the beneficiary of such an action, then just to even have the discussion could be, you know, just one filled with guilt.
I think that's a good point. I know one of the things we focus on is, you know, talking to your family, your children and loved ones about, you know, what should happen if a loved one dies. And we actually do a seminar for our clients and their successors and executives called What Happens When You Die, so that, you know, people can start having those discussions. Because one thing that's true enough, you won't see a hearse being followed by a U-Haul. I mean, you can't take it with you. So if something happens to you, you know, if you don't have a plan, the state of Virginia or the state of Maryland does have a plan for your stuff.
Mm-hmm. That is, and you, that's a word that I think a lot of people overlook is plan. You know, we all want to be at a particular place at a particular time doing particular things. We all would love to be able to leave something to, you know, our children, and as we make the transition into the afterlife, to be able to, you know, have this physical blessing, if you will, for lack of a better term, transferred to our loved ones without any hitch, without any confusion, without, you know, but just to even be able to be in a position to leave something, you got to have a plan, you
Absolutely.
Know, because it's just not, things don't just fall into place. I mean, you have to actually have a plan. If you look at the people who are successful and who have passed on wealth from generation to generation, somebody along those, somebody in somebody's lineage, somebody had a plan somewhere. But and if you look at the unsuccessful people or those who do not transfer wealth, I'm sure you would find that one common theme running throughout all of those lives is that there was no plan.
I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So if you would, can we talk about wills and trusts? Because, you know, that's a very important topic when you're talking about estate planning. Wills and trusts, a lot of people, I mean, if you're just the average layperson out here, you might not know the difference between a will and a trust. Could you please break that down? Can you break that down?
Sure. You know, one thing I always tell my clients is that as an estate planner, as an attorney, when I'm doing a plan for a client, I'm no different than any other professional. So I'm the same as a carpenter or a bricklayer. When we have an idea of that plan, you spoke about Jawan's in place, the plan that you want to create. We can use different documents to create that plan. And
okay.
So I have clients that will come in and they say, I know I want a will, or I know I want to trust because of something they've heard. And I was explaining to them that's kind of like going to your doctor and telling them what kind of medication you want to get well. You know, instead, what I like to do is share with clients the difference. And basically a will or a last will and testament, which are more commonly known and talked about, actually is just a written piece of paper. It's instructions to the court that tells the court, if you were to pass away, it tells the court exactly what you will want to happen. Its job is to leave a roadmap for your beneficiaries.
Okay.
A trust is actually, pretty much predate wills, but a trust is a written agreement between three major individuals. Your trustor, the person who creates the trust, referred to commonly as a grantor, your trustee, the person who manages the trust, and then your beneficiary, the person whom the trust assets are for.
Okay.
And so if you ever heard the term trust fund baby, it just means there's some money being held somewhere for someone. But both trusts and wills are pretty common estate planning documents. They're just the tools that as an estate planning attorney I can use to get a result. You know, wills are pretty good at holding money. I mean, I'm pretty good at giving money outright. I always tell people that a will needs to be read for the state that it's in. For example, a will in Florida may not be a will in Virginia. So, you know, LegalZoom.com, wills are written for California, and that's great if you're going to die in California.
Right,
but typically, they're not, written for every single state. And I don't think they're good ideas in California, to be honest. But, you know, then a trust is actually an instrument that you need to actually create when you create an estate plan and do that. And so there's a little bit more flexibility with trust planning than wills.
So what about people who might be hearing this conversation that we're having, and they might be, let's say, early, you know, in their 20s, you know, just started working in the government, and they're hearing this show, and they're like, oh, will and estate planning, that's so far away, you know, I don't have to worry about that now. I can worry about that in about 25 years, maybe 30 years or 40 years or whatever. What about the need for people to, when they're younger, have the thought that one day, you know, if I'm fortunate enough to live long enough to be able to have children, grandchildren, and leave something, the need to plan for that now as opposed to, you know, that one day when you think when you think you'll get it together. Can you talk about the need to plan for that future time now?
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Juwan. I mean, I deal with this a lot with clients. They'll come in and they'll say, you know, I'm going to come back and see you, Attorney Lee, you know, when I know I'm going to have something, whatever that means.
Mm-hmm.
Or they say, you know, I'm going to come back when this is more of an issue for me. And I'll, you know, kind of jokingly say to them, well, once you get that date and time that you're going to either have a car accident or get sick or you're going to pass away, once you know that date, you come back and see me.
Right.
The truth is we don't know, you know, and I was telling, you know, Michael Jackson, I'm sure didn't know he would only have 50 years.
Okay.
You know, the cases of those of unexpected deaths or unexpected disabilities go on and on. You know, I talk a lot about Terry Schiavo, who was a client of mine, I talk a lot about her to my clients. You know, that was a huge case that was in Florida. Again, you know, in her case and her situation, you know, even though that case happened years and years ago, you know, I use that as an example with my clients because Terry Schiavo was in her 40s when she passed away, but she was 24, 25 years old when she went into a coma. And, you know, convincing a 24, 25-year-old to have an estate plan is like kind of, you know, one of these things,
right.
Well, I don't need it until I get older.
Mm-hmm.
And so we never know when something's going to happen to us. And you may not need a complicated trust or things, you know, huge, complicated estate planning documents and tax papers. But that doesn't mean you don't need a living will, you know, a document that stipulates what do you want for medical issues.
Right.
That's not to be confused with the last will and testament. You know, it doesn't mean that if you have children, you don't need to do a will that's going to say who's going to be their guardian.
Right. That's a good point.
Yeah, you know.
And also, Melanie, I know that, you know, once you start working, in a way, you know, they give you the options of life insurance and different things like that, and you have to name a beneficiary. So is that almost like the beginning of planning? You know, you have to make that decision. Who would I leave my, you know, this money to, or things like that? Because a lot of times I think people don't think about that, especially people that work in the government. I have found that, you know, they know they got benefits. They just feel like I'm going to be covered for all of that. But, you know, they may not know exactly what they have as far as 401k. They may not know, you know, that what type of life insurance policy they have. So is that something that you also bring out in your discussion when you are working with someone to, you know, start this process of planning?
Oh, absolutely. And that's a great point. I mean, you know, often people say, I don't have anything. And then we sit down with them and we look and we find they have life insurance. They have retirement accounts. They have things that if something were to happen to them, someone has to sort through and figure out. So I think that that's a great point.
I'd like to give the number here in the studio for those who want to give us a call and speak with Ms. Lee. That number is 347-324-5727. That's 347-324-5727. You're listening to Jawanza for Life. Our special guest today is attorney Melanie Lee. We're talking about estate planning.
And Melanie, we also want to talk about using estate planning to create generational wealth. I read in your bio that you were recognized for your seminar on strategies to use an estate planning to create generational wealth. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, because that's something that a lot of people in our community don't even consider, talking about generational wealth, passing it down. You know, we look at shows like, for example, Dallas, okay,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, different shows where, you know, you see wealth being passed down, handed down from generation to generation. You hear phrases like, oh, that's old money. They come from a long line of money, a long history of money. How does that work? How do people get to the point where they are able to actually use estate planning to generate generational wealth?
Well, I think that, you know, that's a great point. You know, that a lot of people think that it's complicated to create generational wealth, and I'd like to back up and just kind of start with, you know, what that means.
Okay.
I think that means different. What that means to me, because I think with and to a lot of estate planners, because the term generational wealth sounds like means different things to different people. You know, so I always start by reminding people that the Bible says, you know, a wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that that's an important point, that this is not something that, you know, is created by New Age science or was created just by certain communities. This is something that should be, you know, reverenced and understood by everyone.
But
and
you
then
said
I always try to explain
wise
it.
Man.
A wise man, yes, absolutely.
Okay.
It's a wise man. And I think it's important to understand. I mean, in some translations I will say that says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. So this idea of making sure wealth becomes generational is not something I always remind individuals that was created just in certain communities or in certain people's head. There's nothing new age about it. And, you know, the purpose of generational wealth is just that money has been left and created, and instead of being used by that generation, it's actually transferred and passed to the next generation, whereby which they actually add money to that money and then pass and transfer that money on.
Wow.
And there are different and unique ways to do that in planning. You know, I've had people come to want to do that almost in the idea of creation of a family bank. And we work with clients on certain things like that, you know, helping them understand, first of all, how much money is necessary for something like that. And also the idea of having their trust hold assets and then turn that money back over. You know, we do that quite a bit for clients as well. So the idea is your children aren't starting all over again. You know, when they you know, have to, whether it's money for a home or money for a wedding, and then they actually put money back and put that money aside for someone else. And so, you know, to make sure that clients understand, it's ways to make sure you do that. Now, if you couple what you've done with your attorney and you couple that with what you're teaching in your home, that can be a very powerful combination for generations.
That is just, as I'm listening to this, it's like food. It's like food to my soul, you know, and I'm really enjoying this conversation. And for those of you, again, who want to speak to Ms. Lee, please give us a call at 347-324-5727. That's 347-324-5727. Again, talking about building generational wealth, I mean, I just even love just having the discussion, because again, for so many of us, I'll even share a conversation that I had with a young Oriental boy a few years back. He was about 17 years old, and you know, we ate at the same place, and so we became friends, and so we would have open discussions. And so I asked him what he felt, just out of curiosity. I was just curious to know what his thought was concerning the African-American race. So I asked him his thoughts. I said, what do you think is the difference between the African-American race and other cultures? He thought for a moment. Then he said, you really want to know? I said, I do. He said, you won't get offended? I said, no, it's your opinion. I'd love to hear it. He said, well, he said, my people, speaking about Koreans, he said, my people, when we work, we think about providing a life for our grandchildren's children. He said, it appears when you all work, it doesn't appear as though you are even trying to provide a life for your own children. Now, that was his opinion. Now, that might not have been the opinion of anybody else in his family, although maybe, but that was the opinion of a 17-year-old Korean boy. Okay, and in his mind at 17, he already had the thought that I'm working for my grandchildren's children, you know. And I thought that that was very, very interesting, that he at that young age was being raised with that thought in his head. And how if our people had the same thought, if our 17-year-olds had the thought, if our young men thought to themselves that they're working for their grandchildren's children, you know, what we would see a lot different result than what we're seeing today as it relates to our youth.
Absolutely.
You know, so, I mean, preparing for estate planning, again, now, a lot of times people come into wealth, you know, somebody might hit the lotto, you know what I mean? Somebody might be left something. Talk about the need even to see an attorney when you come into money or whatever, just simply because, again, sometimes people might hit the lottery or something and come into, you know, millions of dollars and don't know what to do with it. You know, just could you talk about just the need to seek professional advice if and when you happen to see yourself in a position where you need to see an estate planner?
Well, you know, I think that's a great point. You know, indeed, I will say, I think being my clients, good luck, because I have had one or two clients that are have been lottery winners. Actually, three. You know, and I don't have I don't have an old practice. I mean, I've been practicing longer than a decade, but that's not an old practice. And to have several lottery winners who were clients and we did work for, and so even though they say the lottery is the surest thing, meaning you're not going to win. I've had clients win, more than $300,000, $400,000 in the lottery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, I think that those cases still, are far few and in between, and needles and haystacks. So I think it's great to see a lawyer, when that occurs, because there could be tax implications. You know, to be honest, I have clients, like I said, who are lottery winners, who've won $400,000, $500,000. I've had a client win $800,000. But unfortunately, I have clients every day who receive life insurance checks when someone has passed away.
Right.
And they don't get help because of those tax issues. And then the saddest thing is my clients who don't ever have those windfalls of money, and they're still sitting around waiting to get some more money.
Right.
I mean, I'm
another
belief, guys. There's no ship that's coming in. You know, no matter where you are, it's good to get some, help.
Sure.
So,
by the way, could you please give, because there are people out there that are listening, I'm sure, and loving what they hear, could you give your contact information for people who want to get in contact with you, who might have issues that they just feel like, well, I might not want to call in on a live radio broadcast with this question. It might be a bit personal, but they would love to talk to you. How can people get in contact with you?
Sure. The best way to get in contact with our office is through our website, which is www.mleelaw.com. That's www.mleelaw.com. And I will say, if you are outside of the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, you can still give us a call. And through the American Academy of Estate Planning Attorneys, I can help you find an attorney in your local area that's a specialist in estate planning. But again, that's www.mleelaw.com. Our phone number for our office is 804-204-1500. That's 804-204-1500.
You know, I can't really, it's hard to move on from the using estate planning to create generational wealth. Why do you think that there's not been more attention paid to this very important topic as it just relates to, we'll just speak of the African-American community?
Well, I think unique, and I will say the wonderful part about our practice is that it's very eclectic. We have Asian-American clients, Caucasian-American clients, African-American clients. But one of the things that I think is unique to the African-American community that very few people will talk about and are willing to talk about, Jawanza, is, you know, the influence of our culture and our heritage as it relates to how we relate to saving and how we relate, how it relates to preparing for the next generation. And traditionally, we have focused on, you know, education for the next generation, and then a system where children take care of their parents.
Okay.
You know, where I practice elder law, which is an asset or facet of estate planning, which basically deals with it's a different area of law, but it deals with, you know, issues as people are getting older. So we help people in pre-planning for long-term care. We help people with guardianship planning and special needs disability planning. We help basically anything that also help preserve wealth during your lifetime. And unfortunately, a lot of people still in our community have this perspective of where, you know, the children take care of the parents.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not happening anymore. You know, the economy doesn't make that a reality. You rarely have families where a wife doesn't work. And I think that happens in other communities, but in our community, if you couple that with a history where we typically sometimes are taught not taught about money, but taught that we can buy our wants and desires, and we don't have the same level of financial education, it just makes the situation more grave sometimes in the African American community. But I think the general concepts of wanting to plan for our family and not knowing how, that has been that's been one of the major differences. And, you know, we aren't generations and generations away from, segregation. So that makes it also a challenge.
That is so interesting. You know, just, what you said about the mindset of, in our community, how it's almost expected that the children take care of the parents. And if you have that expectation as a parent that your children are one day going to take care of you, then you probably don't have the mindset that would require or allow you to be in a position to leave something for them if your mindset is that they're going to take care of you when you get to reach old age and you can't work anymore, or, you know, God forbid you get sick or whatever. If your thought is that your children are going to take care of you, then you probably haven't prepared to take care of yourself, I guess is what I'm saying.
Absolutely. And I
much
think
less
that,
leave anything for them.
Absolutely. And, you know, and beyond, all things that are unique in different communities. Of course, I've had clients outside of the African American community who fall into this trap also. But how many friends do you have in your circle that have no problem saying they took money from their own retirement to pay for their children's education?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Your children can get student loans for their education. If in retirement or in long-term care, you need help, there is no Pell Grant. You know, there is no way for you to borrow money for your retirement
or for
your long-term care.
Excellent point.
Definitely. And, I mean, all of this is just so, you know, it's just very interesting because anytime when you're talking about money, you know, I find that that's a difficult topic to talk about anyway, you know, talking about your possessions, what am I going to do with my possessions, and it's a very sensitive topic, and it's hard sometimes to get people to sit down and even talk about it, you know, and especially to tell them, you know, I would like to take you to an attorney that would like to go over some information with you, you know, concerning, you know, what would you like to do in the future? Even like you were mentioning, Melanie, about maybe a grandparent or, you know, planning for you may, you know, who's gonna take care of you when you get sick, you know, those type of things like that. And, you know, it's very hard when you have to think about that when your everyday life is filled with responsibilities and on your job with your children. And
not just who's going to take care of you, but will the funds be available to take care of you when you're
absolutely
sick? You know?
And I think that's one of the biggest things as well, to kind of change that mindset. Like you mentioned, you know, that mindset that, you know, we have to look ahead and plan ahead, not necessarily looking back, but looking forward. And also talking about management and savings. I know my mother always, you know, said it was important to save, but we're talking about investing. Now, you know, the terminology, I think, is different now today. We have to look into investing because years ago, the Social Security, you know, people, the government more had more things in place, I think, to help people for retiring. And so it's a whole different mindset today when it comes to that. And you have to take ownership for your own life and your own financial success.
Well, I've actually heard people say that they can't afford to invest in a 401k because they need their money now. You know, I can't afford to let my job match my contribution because I need mine now. And, you know, just that whole mindset of, you know, the future being so far off, retirement being so far off, people think about 401k, they're thinking about retirement. So somebody that's in their 30s, they're thinking 30 years down the road, and they might feel they have the time to do it, but, you know, as we're talking about today, not necessarily so.
And Melanie,
absolutely,
I'd like for you to talk about as well, what can happen when you don't have a will? What can happen, you know, if you didn't have a trust in place? You know, some of the things, I mean, things that really could happen. I know you touched on it in the beginning as far as, you know, it going into probate or something like that. But would you share a little bit? I mean, I know you run across cases like that.
Well, you know, I used to, I kind of jokingly say to my clients, I used to ask people, did they have a will? Did they have a estate plan? You know, what do they have? And now I don't do that anymore. And I don't do that because I know everyone has a plan. The question just is whether you wrote it or the state of Virginia or the state of Maryland wrote it for you.
Wow.
Because, you know, again, if you do not have your own plan, the state has a plan for you.
And what is that plan?
And it's called intestacy. And so every state in the country has a actual statute or code that says what happens to your stuff if something were to happen to you. And unfortunately, I tell people, if you've chosen the state's plan, you should at least know what's in it. And so I always tell clients, you know, that you don't have to handle this. Someone will do it for you. And unfortunately, I've had too many conversations after someone has died, and I have to inform the family that what their wishes, what everyone knew their wishes were, we can't execute because that doesn't align with what the state's wishes are, and we have to just follow the state's rules because they didn't leave a will or they didn't do a trust. You know,
and how does that normally fall to the children or to the spouse? Is that the normal way that normally is distributed?
And the question is, it just depends. Each state has its own rules.
Okay.
And so it stipulates, the rules stipulate whether it's all your spouse or your spouse and your children together. I had a sad case a couple of weeks ago where I had to explain to a woman who had been married to her husband for 44 years, you know, right before he passed away, a daughter resurfaced that, you know, was 49 years old and hadn't been in his life. And, you know, he was clear that he wanted everything to go to his wife. Daughter, upon her deathbed, said she understood and agreed to that, but husband never did a will to do that. So now I had to explain to this wife that her home, their life savings, two-thirds of that was going to go to this 49-year-old daughter and a third of it to her. And it wasn't a result anyone wanted. Now, of course, before father passed away, daughter was amicable, you know, with the widow. And, you know, later on, that didn't turn out that way. And so, you know, she's been very adamant about coming to a couple of seminars of ours. She's
sure.
You know, sent several friends and family and pushed and encouraged people to do work with us because she says, you know, look, this is something that's important that people should do. So, you know, unfortunately, you know, life is the best teacher. But, you know, I always tell people you don't want to end up being one of our stories.
And, you know, it's got to be for those who do. For example, they're going to be those who listen to this show and, you know, just go on about, you know, their daily lives as though they never heard this information. There are going to be others who listen to this show and, you know, say, you know what, I need to get my house in order. I need to be sure. I need to be safe. I need to feel secure in the fact that if something were to happen to me today, that my loved ones are covered, you know, that my wishes are carried out, that things are distributed the way that I want them to be distributed. And I know that for people that have their wills in place or their, you know, their trust and estates in order, that has got to be a very, very comfortable feeling, a feeling of security of just knowing that, you know, my family's taken care of. And let me just, oh, she's gone. Okay, I'm sorry. We're going to have to get Ms. Lee back on the line. In the meantime, give us a call in the studio at 347-324-5727. That's 347-324-5727. My name is Juwanza. You're listening to Set for Life. Our special guest today is attorney Melanie Lee, and she is...
Melanie?
Juwanza?
Yeah,
okay.
We're back. All right.
Okay.
Okay, again, the number here in the studio is 347-324-5727. I am really, really, really enjoying this because, again, this is a topic that is not spoken about, I guess, in, maybe in your circles it's spoken about every day, but the average people out here on the streets and, you know, just doing the, you know, going about their daily lives don't come into these type conversations on a regular basis. And for you, Ms. Lee, it's got to be something for you when you see people getting their financial house in order, for lack of a better term, when you see them come to you and they don't know, you know, they just don't know and they're seeking your professional advice, to see them actually put their plans into place and to now get protection, you know, where they may have been vulnerable before.
Absolutely. You know, we always, at the end of most of my consultations, even before a client hires me, you know, I will say to them that I understand, you know, I'm excited that they're taking the steps to do this. And I don't want to ever take for granted, you know, how difficult and challenging it can be for a client to step out and handle this. I mean, it's really estate planning, particularly, is one of the most unselfish things that we can do. Because we really are doing that to alleviate someone else's chaos and stress
right.
if we pass away.
And I think it's so... I'm so glad that you shared concerning the mentality of, you know, just different generations, because this information has to be shared. You do seminars. Do you have any upcoming seminars coming up?
Our next set of seminars in the Richmond area are at the end of September, the last Saturday and the last Thursday in September. We typically put up our seminar schedule the first day of the work day of the month. So they'll be on our website on Tuesday of this week, those times and locations. But they are the last week of September.
Okay. And what would you say to people that are listening today concerning the ones that have children, or when should they start, you know, talking about this, or when should they even kind of pass on this information, you think, to their children? I mean, of course, the reason why I say that is because, you know, even when it comes to learning about managing your finances, so to me, this comes along with managing your finances, looking into your future, being wise as far as investing. When you know, because if you think about it ahead of time, if that's a part of your conversation within your home, just like anything else that you're, you know, you want to talk to your children about, then when they become adults and they go they get their first job, or, you know, when they're going to school, they'll think about these things, you know, about their future. So, I mean, what would you say to the listeners as far as, you know, that's listening today, you know, when should you or how should you go
how
about
it?
Yeah.
Well, if it's okay, I'd like to answer that question kind of in two from two different angles.
Oh, sure.
I guess the first is, you know, for clients who have minor children, you know, I always share with them that you can't afford not to address estate planning. No one likes to think about this, and this is always an interesting perspective. But, you know, your children really legally are almost like your property. And no one wants to think of course, children are perfect human beings within themselves. But if you were to pass away, or, you know, the cases that I've done that are the most tragic is when something happens to two custodial parents, and there's a fight over who's going to care for the children.
Yes.
And that fight adds up to who's going to care for the children's money, if there is any.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are always tragic, tragic cases and stories. And so if you have children, you really can't, you know, you can't afford not to stop and say, you know, indeed, this is who I want to take care of my children's money. This is who I want to have my children.
Right.
And unfortunately, I always tell parents who struggle with, you know, coming up with that decision, that no judge is going to take the care, time, and attention to that choice, that very important choice that you would take as a parent. You know, so, you know, from that perspective.
You know, people probably think that, well, I'm healthy. You know, I'm not sick. You know, I don't need that service right now. I don't need to, you know, they assume that type of planning for who's going to take care of my children would take place on the deathbed or when somebody's ill or, you know, find out they've been diagnosed with something, you know. But life being life, and, you know, every day is different, and you never know what's going to happen from day to day. You might not get old and die because of an illness. You could die suddenly. You know, you could get run over by a car. You could be, you know, hit by a stray bullet. Anything, God forbid, of course. But, you know, it might not. You might not have the opportunity that you might think you're going to have to get these things in order. So while you're healthy, while you're in your right frame of mind, you know, it seems like it would be wise to be able to, you know, take care of this business. And when the call dropped, I was mentioning that it has to be a very good feeling for those who have taken care of this type of business and gotten their house in order. Then they can rest at night, just a sense of security, especially for a man. Like you mentioned, a wise man leaves an inheritance for his children. Well, a wise man also prepares for, you know, an untimely death. And, you know, it's got to feel good and just have a sense of security knowing that in the event something were to happen to me, my family's taken care of. You know, they can not just bury me, but bury me and still, you know, I can be a blessing to them.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you can almost see when people have handled this issue, you know, how the weight kind of just lifts off them. You know, we also, like I said, help people when folks are seniors, and we are helping with making sure that we can preserve as much of their estate as possible and help them find good long-term care options. You know, and in that situation, you can see how thankful people are to make sure that's done. You know, but with the issue of minors, I think it's never too early to start talking to your minor children about, you know, if mom and dad pass away, whatever your belief system is. You know, having that discussion with them yourself. You don't want someone else educating them about that. You know, teaching them to be wise with finances. There are a ton of really good programs, you know, both in the Richmond area I'm familiar with, and then in the Maryland, Prince George's County area that I'm familiar with, Baltimore area. There are a couple of good programs that teach children about money. And there's nothing wrong with making estate planning a part of those discussions that you have with children about money. Your mom and dad are working hard so that you can have something. So it'll be your responsibility to, you know, not squander it, but be responsible and work hard to help someone else receive something.
The number here in the studio, you still got time to talk to Ms. Lee. The number is 347-324-5727. That's 347-324-5727. By the way, I want to say thank you to all of the people that have been listening. I see you going back and listening to the archives, and we just want to say thank you so much for tuning in. You must be listening and hearing something that you're finding interesting.
And we also Miss Lee, Melanie, we mentioned to you, I believe I mentioned to you that we do have a broadcast called Juwanza for Life, which airs on Sundays from 6 to 7, and that's our holistic segment, our life segment. And this, to me, also fits in with life issues because you want to have a peace of mind. You don't want to be stressed, and you don't want to wait till the last minute, like, for instance, on your deathbed, trying to get your affairs in order.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to have that pressure. It's that time is not a time that, you know, you're grieving, you know, you know everything is confusing, and, you know, and it's like you're rushing to put something together. And you know, anytime you're trying to rush to put something together, you're leaving out something. You can't think clearly. So that's why, you know, the information that you're sharing and planning ahead, being proactive, is always best.
And, you know, it's like when it comes to something like this, it's not a question of if, you know, and I know people don't like to talk about death, but, you know, it's a reality. It's not a question of if you're going to die. It's when you're going to die. You are going to die.
Absolutely.
We're going to die. You know, so we can avoid the conversation. We can avoid the discussion. But since we know that we are going to die, you might as well prepare for it. Am I right, Ms. Lee?
Absolutely. I mean, it's not, unfortunately, death is as certain as life. And,
yes.
You know, and unfortunately, in this day and age, you know, one in every seven of us will need long-term care. So it's not even just, I tell people, you know, we're out of just the death business, you know, helping people plan for that. If they will ever need nursing home care or in-home skilled care, how do you pay for that? That's an issue that's also becoming a reality for many of us.
Absolutely. I have a grandmother that's 91 years old, and she's doing well, but, I mean, that, you know, everyone might not live to be that age, but still, we're talking and we're discussing things now. Probably we should have been discussed it, but it's difficult to want to talk about it, but you have to take the time to do it. And I wanted to ask one more question concerning how do you work with a financial advisor? I know you estate planning on the legal side. I know you also mentioned about the accounting side, but how do you also work? Do you collaborate with a financial advisor when someone comes in and, you know, you're looking at the whole estate, or, you know, how do you work along with others, you know, other professionals?
I think that's a great point. Like I said, we take more of a holistic approach to estate planning, and so we are very clear with our clients that in order to get the best product for their family and the best plan for their family, we coordinate with our other advisors. And often that includes our tax advisor and our financial services advisor. You know, we say the financial services is a pillar of our estate planning services, but we aren't financial advisors. You know,
okay.
We don't do financial plans. And so it's important that we make sure that our estate documents and our financial plans are coordinated. I mean, it's no need to have a trust that says everything's going to my children in trust, or that properly plans for your children, and your life insurance beneficiary is your ex-husband.
Right.
You know, if your ex-husband receives your life insurance benefit, then it's not going to go to your kids in trust, no matter what the estate document says.
No matter what the estate document
no,
says.
Absolutely
so
not.
So the will would not override the life insurance.
That's right. That beneficiary statement is by law. And so, you know, when clients, I have some clients, I've had that happen several times in my practice, and it still happens. You know, clients kind of go, well, why do you need to see this? And why do you want to check my beneficiary forms? And often I have some clients that don't let me check those things. And I always say that's kind of at your risk because, you know, we're walking you through the process to look at it.
And that's why it is another, you know, why I brought up earlier that when you're talking about money, people are sensitive when you're talking about money, but you have to trust someone, you know, and you have to feel very comfortable with, you know, an attorney or your financial advisor to be able to sit down, or you're not really going to be able to advise them correctly.
Correct. Absolutely.
And I'm also finding now, too, that even ask questions, you know, about, okay, help me to understand this trust. You know, sometimes, you know, you have all these documents and all these papers, and it's saying that this person is this person and what, but so a lot of times people don't even know what that responsibility is. What does that mean to be a trustee?
Mm-hmm.
You know, those type of things, and those, you know, once people pass away and now you now may be the trustee, the trustee also has a responsibility. Could you talk about that a little bit, Ms. Lee? Because there are people in all listening from all different situations that they may be experiencing right now. So, you know, even that area of a trustee, understanding that is a responsibility. And can you explain a little bit about the trustee, the beneficiary, when it comes to a trust?
Sure, absolutely. You know, whether you have an executor under a will, that's the person. Wills, like I said, are managed or overseen by the court. They're documents that go through probate, the court process to move assets at death, and the person who's responsible for that is an executor. Or if you have a trust, the person who's the fiduciary, we also refer to this person as personal representative. The person who's in charge will be your trustee. So both of those are fiduciary positions. Like I said, whether we have a will or a trust document, it's the person that we are that's in charge to make decisions, to make sure the wishes are carried out, to make sure that the law is followed. And so in a trust, that person is helping to properly organize assets, turn those assets over to whomever is the beneficiary and how that should happen at death or, you know, in disability with the trust, because trusts work also in disability. And so that's basically that person's responsibility. Every time we do an estate plan for a client, and I don't want to just talk about my office, but I only can talk about what I know, is that we do a form that says duties of your personal representative, because I'm sure many listeners have gotten that call from an aging aunt or from a mother or father that says, you know, if I pass away, you're in charge. And they say, okay, well, great, I'll do it. And then they go, well, what does that mean? And so we kind of give our clients a checklist. These are the duties of a representative, and so that their children know. And then we have seminars, trustee and executor responsibilities, you know, what happens when a loved one dies, so that people can get information on how to actually carry out those documents. Very, very important.
Yes.
If you could talk about, we have about 10 minutes or so left, a little less than that, the importance of just knowing the law, or if you don't know it yourself, finding a legal professional, because when it comes to estates, and like you just mentioned, some aging person, you know, tells you, when I die, you're in charge, and, you know, you have to know the law or know someone who knows the law, you know, get with a professional, a legal professional, to help you to sort through these things, because so many people go on the word of somebody. I knew somebody who was named in a will, or I knew somebody who, you know, got an attorney and this and that and the other, and, you know, because they are taking advice from people that they assume know, as opposed to going and sitting down in front of an attorney and actually getting the information and actually finding out what actually the law says, as opposed to what your friend says the law says. Could you talk about the need to seek legal counsel when in doubt?
Absolutely. You know, I think it's interesting to me, you know, as an attorney, that often, you know, the profession and practice of law is always seen a little different than other professions, you know, but it's no different than any other profession. You know, if I have a really, really bad cough or a really bad cold, you know, for a little while, I'll listen to my friends and I'll listen to my hairdresser, you know, telling me about honey and lemon and other kind of remedies. But at the end of the day, if I were to get really, really sick and my small cough ended up not being a cold but ended up being throat cancer, then I can't be upset if I didn't go to a doctor and a doctor didn't tell me that it was just a cold.
Okay.
You know, so I always say the practice of law is very much the same way. You know, you don't often know what you need and how sick you are until you talk to a professional.
Mm.
And so, you know, I think there are other reasons. People just, you know, are kind of mystified often by what we do and how we do it. And sometimes people are a little scared of cost. And in estate planning, I have a double whammy in my practice because people aren't sure and don't fully understand what we're saving them when they plan. You know, for instance, if I do a simple will for a client, sure, it'll cost them a couple hundred bucks. But if they pass away and their children were to have to, someone had to go to court to take care of their children, it's going to cost a couple thousand.
Right.
So
right.
More than a couple thousand. So, you know, I think that that is a kind of a double whammy with law. People are not really sure. It's a little mystified. And then on top of that, it becomes this whole thing of, you know, what is it going to cost? What do I have to do? What do I have to understand?
I'm sorry, go.
You know, often the conversation with the lawyer is a very simple, can be a very simple matter. Many attorneys do free consultation.
Okay.
If you want to just, you know, talk to them about looking at your estate plan. We offer free consultations if you attend one of our seminars.
Okay.
So, you know, you attend one of our seminars and you come out to that seminar, or you call in and you say you're referred and we send you the seminar. If you go through that process with us, we'll sit down and have a consultation. I tell clients you can see me without the going to the seminar, but, you know, then your consultation may not be free.
Okay. And what is your information? Could you share your website again?
Sure. It's www.mleelaw.com. And anyone that calls in and say they heard us on the broadcast, we'll find a way to try to sit down with them and help them with their concerns.
Okay, that's
wonderful. Thank you. Wow, that's so nice.
And I have one other question also that I think is important for people to understand as well. When that person passed away, the will is that person, or the trust is that person. Is that correct, Melanie?
That is, it is their, it is their legal desires, if it's accepted.
Okay.
Now, it has to be accepted. I've had a lot of people coming to see me. They think mom and dad had a will, and when I look at it, I say, guess what? It's not a will.
And what makes a difference between determining if it's a will or not a will?
The state law. You know, so for example, I had a client recently. This young man, I guess I always say everyone's young, was 79 years old when he died. And he had a will, he had done a will, but that will would have worked in New York. It didn't work in Virginia, where he died. And so our courts rejected that.
Wow.
Another good plug you've had for seeing a professional, because, you know, only if you're going to, you know, if someone's going to pass away and that piece of paper is going to be judged on state law, I always say make sure the person who did your documents knows state law.
So if the person, let's say, made the will in a particular state but died in another state, now that could affect, or and lived in another state when they died. Let's say they were born, or they made the will when they were living in Maryland, moved to Richmond and died in Richmond. What would that, would it necessarily hold true, or because of Virginia state law maybe differing from Maryland, that might not hold up?
That's a great point. It's going to depend on what's in that document. Virginia and Maryland's laws are pretty similar, but
okay.
There are some different nuances, some big different nuances. For instance, in Maryland, there's a state inheritance tax, an amount that's due to the state if you have over a certain amount. Virginia doesn't have a state inheritance tax. So there are some nuances, and that's why, you know, this isn't your kitchen cabinets. It's worth, you know, sitting down with a professional.
And you can go as far as the person stating how I want to be buried, where I want to be buried. All of that is a part. Is all of that a part of the estate planning, Melanie? As far as the, you know, where I want to be buried, and you know, and things like that.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of my clients, that is very important to them.
Right.
They want to stipulate their wishes.
Okay.
Well, I just want to say thank you so much. This has really been very educational. I mean, extremely educational and motivating. Because just after this conversation, I need to sit down and think about getting my will and talking about an estate and, you know, planning and so forth, because it's important and you just never know. Life being life, it is unexpected things do happen, and you want to be prepared. And for those of us, we talked about it never being too early. We have only a couple of minutes left, but briefly, it's never too late either, is it? I mean, because there's some people who say, well, I can't do it now.
Well, yeah, I mean, as long as you are breathing and you're still in sound mind, you know,
yes.
Then it's never too late. And unfortunately, you know, for some people, you know, if they really want to do it when they can't. And so,
okay.
You know, you have to be of sound mind. The standard to create a will, the capacity standard, meaning, you know, how much do you have to know about yourself and your stuff, is pretty low. But for people who are already incompetent, then no, they can't do this work anymore. They can't plan anymore.
This has been, like Jawanza said, I mean, a lot of information, a lot to think about. We need to go back, you know, if you haven't gone over that, you know, talked about it, thought about it, you know, even look at what you have, because sometimes people think they don't have anything. But like you mentioned, Melanie, we got life insurance plans. We do have retirement things in place, a lot of places, because you have to have it today. And so, you know, we do have something.
And for those who are listening, again, if this information is information that doesn't affect you directly today, it could affect you tomorrow. Or you might know somebody who has somebody that might be in need of this type of information because of their particular circumstance. The shows are archived. You can go tell somebody about this show, because you just heard from Melanie Lee today, and you can tell just from this conversation that we are about life, and we are about making this this journey of ours as smooth as we can make it, without the bumps and the bruises and the complications and the confusion, and just having your house in order, legally in order. I mean, not thinking you got it together, but actually sitting down with an attorney and knowing that your business is straight, your house is in order, and if something were to happen to you, that your people would be taken care of. Because, you know, you've seen it or heard about it, there's a lot of confusion that can start oftentimes when somebody doesn't have a will, or they don't have an estate, they haven't taken the time to sit down and talk to the attorneys. And, you know, you can save the people that you love a lot of confusion, a lot of unnecessary pain. So, Ms. Lee, please give your information again for those of you who have loved what you heard and you want to hear more, and you want to contact this attorney to, you know, get more information, you want to attend a workshop, a seminar. Melanie, can you give your information again?
Sure. It's www.mleelaw.com. That's M as in Melanie, L-E-E-L-A-W.com. Our phone number is 804-204-1500. And I couldn't have said that piece on planning better myself, Jawanza.
Thank you, sister. Any closing remarks before we get out of here today?
No, I've absolutely enjoyed the conversation with you. I appreciate your seeing how important this is to not only our community, but to the wider community at large, and everyone to handle this. You know, for those who are listening and found this information valuable, I would encourage you to reach out to us just to get more information. It doesn't cost you anything, and it would just, you know, increase your knowledge in this area. Again, I know this is a hard topic, but I appreciate you all and your broadcast for having the strength and courage to have people stop for a minute and talk about something that's complicated.
And thank you so much for agreeing to come on Set for Life, and we will have to have you come back again if we can, if, you know, if you agree. And so we just thank you so much.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's truly been an honor. Melanie M. Lee, Esquire. She's the owner of Lee Law Office in Richmond, Virginia. It has truly been an educational experience today. Food for thought, everybody. Get your house in order. Get your house in order, because you don't know the day nor the time. You don't know when the day that you're in will be your last day. You know, you don't know. You have no idea. And some of you have relatives who are ill now, you know what I mean, who are still in their right mind. And it's not an admittance that the person is going to die just to get your business straight. It's not saying that, oh, I know mama going to die, we better get our stuff together. It's not an admittance that their life is over just by getting this information. It's being wise.
Being wise.
So again, Ms. Lee, thank you so much. Again, we're going to have you back. We have to have you back, because this is an ongoing conversation, and people need to constantly hear this type of information. It's truly been an honor, and I wish you nothing but the best in your practice and you know, helping families preserve their wealth.
Thank you so much.
It's truly been a pleasure. Until the next time, everybody, this has been Set for Life. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow to Jawanza for Life. My special guest is Margaret Shug Avery from The Color Purple. She's going to be talking about President Obama and the current election. So you want to make sure that you tune in for that. That's going to be from 6 to 7 Eastern Standard Time on Jawanza for Life.
And thank you again for listening. And remember to go back and listen to the archives. And we look forward to our show tomorrow.
Yeah.
And have a wonderful day.
We love you. Peace.
Peace.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.